Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin N, Novena.
Episode 40-something.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, everyone. It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We are Dee in
Pennsylvania. Catholic Vitamins is still on the road.
We are on the road. Dee, our vitamin for today
is N for Novena.
Catholic vitamin N for Novena. Novena is a form of prayer or devotion, usually done on 9 consecutive days. But you know, it can be done over a period of 9 weeks or just some 9 periods of time. And it's
But I'm thinking maybe this one is going to be different.
It is going to be a little bit different. We had an idea that we wanted to sort of do with you. And
I think it's a unique idea.
I do too. So today's idea is that we're going to have 9 voices, 9 different people who we hope may inspire you to holy thoughts or actions, 9 unique people experiences from Tom's visit to Franciscan University. And so, Dee, before we talk about Franciscan University, let's talk about what we did on the road for the last week and a half.
Well, we recorded the last podcast from Missouri while we were visiting our daughter.
Uh-huh.
And then we continued on, and you went to your retreat in Ohio, in Steubenville. And I came on to Pennsylvania to visit with my folks. Then I came back at the end of the week and picked you up. And now we're back in Pennsylvania again.
Well, let me say some words about Franciscan University. Can I do that? Yeah.
A few words. I think knowing how you feel about Franciscan University, it will be more than a few words.
Dear folks, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, to be with 150 priests who all have their hands lifted at the consecration of the Mass, to be with 150 or more priests and deacons and some seminarians who are singing with great joy and happiness, praising God, to be listening to speakers like Scott Hahn, as we did one evening, Father Francis Martin, a true biblical scholar in the fullest and richest sense of the word, to be with Father Dave Pavanka, the author of the walk, the Camino walk, the 500-mile walk that he did, his book about that, to be with him, and do a 3-day workshop with Father Pavanka on spiritual freedom. It was just absolutely an awesome week. And when Dee picked me up, I guess we should say, as you came to join us, who else was there?
Bob DiRillo from the Paul's Men podcast.
Absolutely.
He drove a couple hours south from where he lives in Ohio to join us for lunch. So we got to meet him in person finally.
Yep. It was awesome. And we spent a good hour, I think, in the cafeteria talking, sharing, laughing, and teasing each other. And even though you think you're going to hear some words maybe later on, I want to tell you that he is the best old podcaster that I've ever heard. So we had a good visit with him. Then he left, and you know, I was riding about 6 feet high in the air. I was so pumped by the week at Franciscan for the conference and retreat. And then you and I drove to Toronto, Ohio.
Which was what, about how many miles?
Oh, 10 miles or less.
Just outside of Steubenville.
Yeah, and we visited the TOR sisters. That's the Third Order Regular Sisters, the Franciscans of Our Lady of Sorrows, I think is the correct definition, but they are a wonderful
Oh, they are. We get their newsletter all the time, and we try to send donations their way once in a while. But they're in the midst of a major building expansion program and building a beautiful, beautiful church, chapel on their property. And so Sister Catherine that we met up with, she gave us a tour. We had to put hard hats on.
Yep.
And she gave us a tour of all the new stuff. It's really neat. I can't wait to go back and see it when it's all done.
Sister Catherine Forsyth was the sister who was on Catholic Vitamins many weeks ago. And what did we cover with her? Do you remember? I'll have to think about that for a couple of minutes. But it was about her search for vocation. I'll think about that, and we'll have that before the end of the show. But she helped us tour their new, as you said, chapel, but also their new cloister that's going to be...
Cloistered area, yeah. And office areas. And it's going to be very, a very, very nice facility.
All right. Now we drive on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and we get to Bedford County, and we've come to, we saw your mom, and what did I have for dinner last night?
An apple dumpling.
Pennsylvania, folks, it's just absolutely awesome.
Something we have to have every time we come back here.
Yeah, and then we came over and joined your sister. We're staying with your sister, Jan.
Right, we're sitting here at her dining room table right now.
As we do this.
And tonight you have a date night. You're taking my mom and my sister out for dinner while I go to my high school reunion.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy that. Have a good time, a blessed time. And it was so nice when we asked your mom, would she mind going out on a date with her son-in-law? She said, well, I think I'd really like that. All right. Well, that's kind of an update. Sorry for the long tongue wagging about what we've been up to, but thought you might enjoy it. And we are going to get started with Catholic Vitamin N for Novena. Our next guest on Catholic Vitamins is Kathy Resnick. She is a graduated student from Steubenville University. We're sitting outside, what's the name of the center here?
The Finnegan Fieldhouse.
We're sitting outside the Finnegan Fieldhouse, and we're going to talk about prayer life and Kathy's experience with novenas. But before we do that, let me ask you to say a word or two. You're a local person here?
Yes. I was born in Steubenville and grew up in the area on a farm with my family.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, welcome to Catholic Vitamins. We're glad to have you. And you know that I picked you because you've been giving me orders for a couple, 3 years here at Steubenville. You are one of the liturgy people.
This year I am.
Yeah. And that means that you tell the deacons where to go.
Yes.
And... we've just finished a beautiful Mass and celebration of the Eucharist, and you helped direct us and give us our marching orders. You told me before we started recording that you just graduated with a nursing degree, and you're now entering their master's program.
Yes.
How's it been?
I have greatly enjoyed it. Definitely coming to Franciscan was one of the most important decisions I ever made in my life, and I've loved the nursing program and the whole holistic view that they have of the whole person and caring for the whole person. So I've really enjoyed it and learned a lot.
Okay, and I'm going to move this a little closer to you as we're recording. Tell me a little bit about your family of origin, your faith walk.
My parents are both very Catholic. They went to Franciscan, they graduated from Franciscan, met and were married. So I've grown up in a family that is just quite Catholic. My parents go to daily Mass as much as possible. We say family rosary, we pray throughout the day together, and our whole lives have just been focused on that this is a normal thing, that of course you should have a prayer time every day. I remember growing up and be like, well, did you have your prayer time yet? It wasn't whether you should or not, it's that you were going to, and it wasn't like forced upon us in a bad way, but in like, no, this is a relationship that you have with the Lord, and that this is something you need to do in order to maintain that relationship, which is to come before Him and pray and to get to know Him better. And so growing up, like, I was just so incredibly blessed to have always known the Lord and to just come to know Him more and more fully through so many things, through my family, through the charismatic community my family's in, and just different things like that, through Mass, our parish, and to just come to know Him more and more as I am a young adult and to get a more and more mature relationship with Him. And Franciscans also very much helped me with that, just continue to build my prayer life and experience.
Awesome, awesome. I hope the wind isn't disturbing our recording as we're doing this. We're sitting outside at a table, and we have just finished the Eucharist, as I said a minute ago. And I asked Kathy if she would say a word or two about her prayer life, which she's sort of done now by way of explaining her background and walk recently. What can you tell us about novenas? Have you done novenas in your life?
I have. I have done a lot of novenas, probably. At one point, I had the St. Joseph novena, which I love and is an excellent novena, which you have to remember to say. It's one of those you must say it in the morning novenas. But I was doing it like in just rotations for all sorts of different things, and I've done many novenas such as that. And one more recently I've done is Mary Undoer of Knots. It's kind of a longer novena.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Tell us about that, please.
It's a very excellent novena. It's very... it's really directed especially towards like family problems or relationship problems, but really it's Mary Undoer of Knots is the patron, but really to undo knots that are problems that we think that we as humans especially can't fix, that it seems so complicated to us or so unbelievable. And the different prayers take you through just a pattern of like causing you to forgive for different things every day, mm-hmm. like to look back on your own life, especially like if you're praying for like a relationship where you feel like someone else has hurt you. A lot of times it's very good because it goes through like, well, you repenting for the different things you do, and then it does have like a rosary component as part of that, and it's just a very good novena. I know they sell it at our bookstore here and other places as well.
We'll try and find a link to that, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, and we'll put a link in our show notes on our blog page, as we do with our many other things that we try to help with. That's a litany to Mary, the Undoer of Knots.
Yes.
What a beautiful idea.
It is.
Just beautiful. Cool. And St. Joseph, why did you pick St. Joseph for novena
prayers? My dad has a particular devotion to St. Joseph, so I think that was when I was younger, I really got into just saying it every day. But at one point, I think I said it for about a year and a half straight. Because that was... And I was praying for different things every 9 days, but it was excellent. It was just, he has a great devotion to St. Joseph, so it was certainly one that was readily available in our home, and just, it seems so perfect for so many things, because mm-hmm. he was Jesus' earthly father and able to provide for him, and in so many things, like, that's so much, so often what we seek is for the Lord to provide something for us, so to pray to him was really a blessing and gift.
There's a blessed that I have devotion to, Blessed Andre Bessette from up in Canada, who had a great devotion to St. Joseph, and he used to use oil from the church, which he called the oil of St. Joseph. And there's a lot of miraculous healings that are attributed to his intercession. And so I believe in devotion to St. Joseph. Well, Kathy Resnick, we thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins. Thank you for helping us to look at the topic of novenas. And if you promise to pray for us, we'll pray for you.
Yes.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins are two members of the clergy. We're talking with Father Von DeRosia and Deacon Winton DeRosia. Welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you. Well,
thank you.
So what is unusual about this, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, is I'm talking with a father and a father. So... I'm sure you've heard that before. Tell me about your life, Deacon.
Well, I'm actually the father, Deacon Winton DeRosia. And I came from a family that really didn't practice anything. We were raised in the hill country of Vermont, and we didn't go to church. But I always had this inner desire. I felt called by God for something, even though I was unaware of it, and it wasn't probably till I was in the first grade in public school, believe it or not, that I even heard the word God. In this public school back in 1956, they did the Our Father, and the Catholics all did the sign of the cross, and I said, they have something. They have something I want. And it took me probably another 22 years before I actually had it for myself. Even though I desired it, I didn't actually become a Catholic until I was 28 years old.
Wow.
So my children were all baptized before I was ever brought into the faith. And it's just been a constant growth. I have to blame my wife for becoming a Catholic, in part because of her solidness in the faith and her example to me.
Awesome. Okay, Father Vaughn.
Well, my family of origin is my father was a convert, as you know. My earliest memories of faith, of course, going to Mass on Sundays, but also where we'd sit around praying what I always called the seven-hour Fathers, seven Hail Marys, seven Glory Bees, for peace in the world. And other times we would be learning certain prayers as part of religious ed, so we'd have to learn, we'd pray through the Apostles' Creed, or we'd pray through the act of contrition every day till it got into our heads and we knew them well. I remember one time we went through, my parents wanted to read the scriptures with us, and so we read through Genesis and then together, and then we read through part of Exodus and skipped over all the parts where it's talking about how you build the ark and other things, and then skip to the good stuff again, and just the stories. But it was always a part of our faith life growing up. And at an early age, I decided I wanted to be a priest, which waxed and waned over the years. But mass attendance and involvement of the church was always there. It was always an incredible part of my life.
And how long have you been ordained?
I've been ordained a priest for 7 years now.
God be praised. God be praised for both of you for your yes to the Lord. Well, our topic is novena in this program, and we're talking with a number of people, nine we hope, to share a little bit about what it is that you'd like to do for holiness in your life now. Do you have a spiritual practice, Deacon Winton, that you can share with us?
It was interesting that it took a long time in growing, but our community built an adoration chapel, and we were there for its consecration, and we did our 1 hour a week as was normally expected. And you know, with preaching regularly, I found that I was spending a little bit more time each week, especially the weeks that I was preaching, going to the chapel and sitting before the Blessed Sacrament. It got to a point where, whether I was preaching or not, being in the presence of Jesus every morning from 5 to 6 a.m. for us was a blessing. We found peace in our day, and that has become a regular practice for us for probably the last 5 years. And it grows. And, you know, I feel very blessed that I'm able to sit there in the presence of Christ. And that's a practice that I don't see ending.
Praise God.
It continues to grow.
Praise God. That was our first Catholic vitamin, vitamin A for adoration. All right, Father Vaughn, you.
Well, of course, the Mass is an incredible thing, but I'd have to be up there with my father and say adoration again. I remember growing up and listening to some tapes of Bishop Sheen speaking about, you know, telling the priest, you have to spend 1 hour of day in adoration. And so that was something I strove for, and I couldn't do it always in college, but I made sure that I did spend my time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I made sure that when I then got into seminary, that was a regular practice. In the last couple of years, it's changed, though, because I found that 1 hour just wasn't enough. And the Lord had been calling me for several years to up the ante, as you so to speak, but I wasn't able to do it on my own power. And finally he said, when are you gonna do it? And I says, okay, God, I'll do it. And I ended up putting an extra hour first thing in the morning. So I usually go from about five to seven in the morning. Just first hour is just time where I'm just with the Lord and just loving Him. And then the second hour, I get into the devotions, the liturgy, the hours that I have to do every day, prayer through Scripture, looking at the daily readings, etc. but just spending that time with the Lord really has been very transformative and drawn me deeper and deeper into the heart of the God who loves us.
Praise God. Father Vaughn DeRogia and Deacon Winton DeRogia, both from New Hampshire, one from Concord and the other from Epping. How far apart are you?
About 35 minutes.
So, you know, this has got to be a question you've been asked a lot of times. What's it like to be a deacon to a father, son?
It's an awesome privilege. And the fact that I was ordained deacon probably 2 months before him, or was it less? I have time and service
yes,
on him.
Yes, yes.
Even though he outranks me now. but I was able to vest him for his diaconate, and that was a real privilege for me. And we make it a point to serve at Mass together whenever we can. It's not all the time, but it's a grand privilege to be in front of the different congregations, and we find that the people within the congregation love to see this father-son relationship in service and in celebration.
How beautiful. Thank you both for being guests on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, as you've heard, you're listening to Catholic Vitamins, and we were delighted to spend time with a delightful graduate student, Kathy Resnick, who talked about her joy in doing the St. Joseph Novena and that beautiful Novena concept, Our Lady Undoer of Knots. We'll look for some information when we can get connected with the internet. Remember, we're in sort of rural Pennsylvania as we're putting our podcast together. And in case it's a little bit delayed, we'll get you some information on that novena when we can. When I started talking with Kathy, I said that she had gone to the University of Steubenville. Of course, I meant Franciscan University. And then you heard Deacon Winton DeRogia and Father Vaughn DeRogia, an unusual pairing of a deacon father and a son father. They're wonderful and holy examples. Hope you got some inspiration from listening to them talking about the seven prayers for peace that they did when Father Vaughn was younger. Also reading scripture in the younger days. And then both of them independent of one another being involved in adoration. Deacon Winton involved in adoration from 5 to 6 p.m. and then 5 to 7 a.m., excuse me. And the same for Father Vaughn. So it's really neat to have spent some time with them. You're listening to Catholic Vitamins, and we are going to continue with more on our show, A Novena of Voices. Back on Catholic Vitamins, and we're really, really blessed to have with us at the table Father Mark Rutherford, who was our first ever guest on Catholic Vitamins. We were on Vitamin A at that time, and that was adoration, and Father told us a story about an adoration experience in his life, and we had so much feedback as far away, I think, as Denmark, if I remember, as well as many in the United States. So bless you, Father, and welcome back to our program.
Deacon, it's a pleasure to be back.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. So tell us what's been going on since we talked an alphabet and a half ago.
Was I a priest at that time?
You were. You were a priest for 36 hours when I met you here at Steubenville, and then we talked a couple weeks later on the phone.
Yes, yeah. That was great because my parish gave me as a ordination gift the retreat here in Steubenville, Priest Deacon Seminarians retreat. And that was a great gift, and it's good to be back here and see a lot of the priests that I met and deacons that I met and seminarians that I met last year. And since then, I've been assigned to a parish in Brighton, Michigan.
Okay.
St. Patrick's in Brighton. And it's quite a large parish. We've about 3,500 parishioners, or families.
Well, 35 families.
About 3,500 families at St. Patrick's. But one word really has encapsulated my experience in being a priest in my first year, and that's just a joy-filled experience.
Oh, praise
it's
God.
Been a great delight and a great honor and a great pleasure to preach the gospel. And that's one thing the Lord has really put on my heart as a priest. It was something that He put in my heart long before I became a priest. But in addition to being at the parish, that desire to allow myself to be immersed in the scriptures, in the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to really impress on my heart and on my life not just the words that I'm reading in scripture that I'm about to preach to the people of God, but to allow those words become a reality in my life, so that when I preach to the people of God, they're experiencing and what they're hearing is not the reading, the verbalizing of a word that I read, but of a person that I encountered. And the Lord has really placed that front and center as a priority in my life. And I've seen the fruit of that, spending time as a priest in the scriptures, preparing to preach any time that I preach, whether I give a talk, whether I preach, no matter what I do in public ministry, the Lord has really placed a strong desire in my heart to get on my face before His presence, before His Word, and really call on the Holy Spirit to flood my heart, flood my mind with His presence, with His anointing, so that when people hear me, they don't hear Father Mark. They hear Jesus Christ. And as a newly ordained priest, that is one thing that I'm really glad I am learning. Amen. In my first year of priesthood. I feel really blessed to be in the Lord's and the Holy Spirit's school, and because I'm not done yet.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, it occurred to me as I was listening intently to your words, it occurred to me that you were ordained into the year of the priest, and your first year was in the year of the priest, just completed now, just days. And I thank you for your yes to God. I thank you for the testimony that you shared about adoration. And I have kept you in my prayers. I hope you will keep us, our listeners, in your prayers.
Absolutely.
And do you have any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts to any guys who have ever thought about the priesthood or are thinking about the priesthood, we're living in a time in which the priesthood is attacked publicly by the media. I thought at first that it was just inaccurate journalism, but recent journalism has given evidence of just flat-out attack on the priesthood and particularly the Pope.
Right.
I don't want this, nor do I want to see this be a discouraging factor in any man who's ever thought about priesthood. In fact, I want every man who's ever thought about priesthood, I want every man, every young man who Jesus Christ is calling to become a priest, to see these events and to see Jesus Christ calling them to not be afraid, even in the midst of this world, to take up the standard of the gospel and to preach the gospel with courage, without fear, and to really, really see Jesus Christ as the center of their life and to make Him the center of their life. If they do that, then there's nothing in this culture that'll discourage them from preaching the gospel, even when it's unpopular.
Our Catholic vitamin for today is vitamin N. And Father has given us nutrition, although this vitamin is novena, and he's adding to one of the nine voices that we hope to gather, sharing testimony on the faith. Father Mark, blessings, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Deacon Tom.
Bye-bye. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Father Rick Martinetti. He's the director of the pre-theologate program at Franciscan University. And I was blessed to be able to be at a traveler's mass in which Father was the celebrant and the homilist. And I was touched, moved by his homily. And I asked Father to share some of these thoughts with us in this mini broadcast that we're doing. Father Rick, if I may, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you very much.
So we're glad to have you here. And I understand that you did maybe the start of your ministry or earlier ministry was not here at Franciscan, but it was back east. You want to tell our listeners about that?
Yes, I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
And the ministry in those days in Boston, you know, you're ministering to kind of a tougher crowd. I've always been blessed that the Lord has called me to youth ministry in one form or another. And the young people growing up in the city, in the Boston area, a little tougher, a little more focused on what's cool and what's not cool. And I found myself really trying to challenge them to stop listening to the lies of society and give Jesus, the truth, a chance. And that's not easy to do, because for the average teen, I would say, Jesus is not cool, or church is some old building that they can't relate to anymore. So it was a very experiential ministry. I found myself listening to the young people more and more, and inevitably you hear of problems, things that are going wrong. And then after you listen for a while, you can start to challenge them to say, well, have you tried things the Lord's way? Mm-hmm. And it's only after people start to admit that, well, I've been doing it my own way for a long time and things are just going really poorly, maybe I'll give Jesus a shot. And you try to present the truth in that way, as give it a shot for a while. Try to live as the way Jesus is talking. Try to give instead of take. Try to love and serve instead of being greedy for what you can possess. Come back to me in a week. Mm-hmm. Let me know how that's going. Try the Lord and see if his way, if there's really something to following his way.
Okay, so how long did you do that back east, northeast ministry?
Off and on, I'm still doing it. I still help out at a summer camp in Massachusetts. And whenever I travel in the Massachusetts area, I'm always talking to friends. Do you want to hear more of what I did after that? Or?
Yeah, well, I'd like to know about what happened when you came here to Franciscan. What was it like here?
Okay. Well, here at Franciscan, ministry is completely different. Whereas it could really have felt at times back east that getting people to think about the Lord was like pulling teeth, really trying to kind of convince them. Here at Franciscan, it's the opposite. Everybody, all the students here at Franciscan, they want Jesus. They care about their faith. They're excited about their Catholic faith. And it's just very refreshing for me to be here in an environment with such beautiful people.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you had some words in your homily about working with people, loving people who are not in the place that maybe God would have them be. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say any words about that?
Surely. As always, there are challenges even here, even in a place like Franciscan University, where you have, I think we're about 2,700 students that all care about their faith. Here, I find the challenges are going to be to truly love the Lord and not the law. You know, we can tend to be somewhat like the Pharisees, who get caught up in rules and regulations, all well-meaning. The young people here want to do the right thing, but that can lead to a certain Pharisee mentality where they get a little bit more caught up in the letter of the law than in the spirit of the law and how to love in the name of Jesus. I've also seen here for the first time in my life scrupulosity.
Oh, wow.
And I've had to encourage some young people who I believe are suffering from scrupulosity to say, the Lord does not want you to spend all day and night counting your sins, mm-hmm. and just making a list of your mistakes, which some people tend to do. He wants you to go out there and love. He wants you to spread the gospel message of love and peace. And then if you make a mistake, you can go to confession and you can ask his forgiveness. But to spend all day obsessed with sin and not with love, I think, is to miss the mark.
Okay, so by closing, if we have someone in the family, maybe a young person who has stopped the practice of the faith, maybe they're away at college, what words would you have for someone who would like to pray for them, but also to interact with them in a good way?
Okay. I found in both situations, in the inner city, here at Franciscan University in Steubenville, the task of the minister, first and foremost, needs to be to listen. I think we need to really listen to people, find out where they're at. If we take a person from point A and try to immediately drag him to point X, it's not going to happen. It's not physically possible. But if we listen to where a person is and just try to challenge him to take the next step of holiness, get him from point A to point B, that's sufficient for ministry. And to do that, we have to start by listening, learn where people are at, a little bit of their history and everything that's brought them up to this point. When we listen to people, we find that we start to empathize with them, we start to even love them, and then we can preach. After we've listened, then we can start to preach the good news. After we've begun to love, then we can challenge people to take the next step of holiness.
Our guest has been Father Rick Martinetti. He's the director of the Pre-Theologate Program. And I think, although we're watching our time, would you just say a word about the Pre-Theologate Program so anybody who's listening and might feel the call of Christ or wonder? Would you say a few words about the program?
We have an amazing program here at Franciscan University of Steubenville. Every year, the Lord sends us around 50 men that are discerning a call to priesthood or religious life. And we have a pretty comprehensive program that works to form them academically and spiritually and pastorally and humanly, and also as a brother. Our men will come into our program discerning. They just have a hunch that maybe God is calling them to something more like priesthood or religious life. They meet up with a community of brothers who also have that same hunch, and they find the support that many of them weren't getting back home. We don't guarantee that everyone who steps into our program will be ordained a priest, but we can pretty much guarantee that they will draw closer to the Lord and get to know themselves and their giftedness a little bit more concretely, and how they may be able to use their gifts to serve the church.
Wonderful. Father Rick Martinetti, the director of the Pre-Theologate Program at Franciscan University, thank you for being with us on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you have Father Mark Rutherford, our first ever guest on Catholic Vitamins, who told such a powerful story of an adoration experience that he had at a youth conference, at a Steubenville youth conference, many years ago, and it led to him, in part, becoming a priest. And he shared with us on this novena of thoughts and words from folks around Franciscan University and friends of Catholic Vitamins, that the gospel is not just a word or words. It is something to be internalized and made a part of our lives. Father Mark made a call to young people to consider the priesthood in spite of the challenges and negative press that the priesthood is getting, because this is the very time that the church needs more priests. Then we heard from Father Rick Martinetti, who's the director of the Pre-Theologate Program, the pre-theology or pre-seminary program that they have at Franciscan University. And Father Rick shared with us some thoughts on sharing the faith with others, but do it with love. And for those that aren't in the place where we believe God would have them be, like practicing the Catholic faith, to start by listening to them, find out where they're coming from, find out what they've been through and why they are where they are before starting to share the truth with them. So thanks to Father Rick Martinetti and to Father Mark Rutherford. And there's more in our Novena of Voices. Thank you. Our next guest on Catholic Vitamins is Father Francis Martin. Father Francis has been at Franciscan University, I guess, as a professor at one time, but also he comes regularly to teach the priests and deacons and seminarians in the annual conference that we attend. And each year, Father gets to speak with us about Scripture. And it has been so inspiring. It's been so wonderful to be at his feet. Father Francis, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
So, to just introduce you to our listeners, would you mind sharing a word or two about your background and your journey to today?
Well, I was born at an early age in the Bronx in New York. And at 20, I went off and lived in a monastery, Trappist monastery, for 15 years, and it was there that I began to really learn to read the Scriptures. Because I had such great models, you know, St. Augustine, St. Bernard, St. Gregory, Origen. And I learned to be sensitive to the Word of God and learn from it purely by the grace of God and the intercession of Our Lady. Very early, I began to understand the wonder of God's plan. St. Augustine has a little phrase where he says, talking about the two testaments, novum invadere latet, vetus in novo patet. The New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is manifest in the New. So he's talking about God's plan. See, God's plan began with Abraham, the first monotheist in the whole world, as far as we know. Mm. God spoke to him. As the fathers of the church would say, the Logos came to him and spoke to him. And this was revolutionary. You can imagine the faith he had, what a gift of faith he had, which was put to the test. Remember when he had to sacrifice Isaac and trust God. All he had by way of guarantee of God's promise, of all the wonderful things. You know, people will bless themselves in your name. You will be the father of a great nation. And all he had was his one son. Son of Sarah and himself. And God said, sacrifice that son. He obeyed. You see, that was his faith, and that was his trust. And you read, like in the letter to the Hebrews, he reasoned that God could raise from the dead. So that's our father in faith. And then, several centuries later, perhaps Moses, and God raised up Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, back to the land he had promised to Abraham. And Moses was another great man, a mystic, inspired by God, to whom God gave the 10 basic laws, the 10 words they call them in Hebrew, and a way of worship. Now that was all expanded over the centuries with other legislation, some of which Moses may have been responsible for. But it continued to develop. It was a way of life centered on God. And that's why God, when he wanted to rebuke them, the first thing he told them was, you're not paying attention to me. You're not worshiping me as the only God. And you're not taking care of the poor. And these are the two big sins. And then Jesus came. You see, Israel gave the world its Messiah in and through Mary. It took a millennium to prepare a people to prepare Mary, so that when the angel came to her and said, rejoice, most favored one, she knew already, because of what Zephaniah had said and Zechariah, that she was being invited to have some role in the coming of the Messiah. That's why she was disturbed. And then the angel explained it all to her, and he said, now you see, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Well, the overshadowing is what the cloud, the kavod, glory did over the Ark of the Covenant. Now Mary is the new Ark because, you see, the Torah, the law, now concretized in Jesus, is carried by her and born of her. That's why when she went to visit Elizabeth, you see, it's the new covenant coming to meet the old, and they embrace, and Mary sings a song, and that's the beginning of the new law. And Jesus is born He spends 30 of the years he was on earth, probably 33 years, 30 of them living a very simple life in a village so out of touch with everybody else that there wasn't even a road to Nazareth in his day. And he spent 30 of his 33 years living there as a simple man, praying, of course, to the Father, communing with Mary, and all the rest. And then he finally went out. He was baptized by Mitch. In those days, John the Baptist was inviting people to come and claim and renew and commit themselves to their Jewish vocation. And Jesus came, and he committed himself to his vocation and accepted to be the servant of God. And so you see God's plan unfold. From that point on, you see, you can watch God's plan unfold as it had been described prophetically throughout the whole of the Old Covenant. And that's what we celebrate now, you see, this new covenant, which is forever. It's an eternal covenant. We won't have suffering. We won't have darkness. We'll have light, not just faith. We won't have sacraments, not even the Eucharist, because we have Jesus himself, the very Word of God incarnate, the very center of all reality, as our friend. And we will be living the Trinitarian life, the life of the Trinity given to us in the very depth of our being. And it's that life which keeps us going and alive and filled with joy for all eternity.
That is, in 9 minutes, that is Abraham to eternity.
That's right.
How to encapsulate all of that in those few minutes. But that's awesome. Our guest has been Father Francis Martin, and we thank you for a few moments of your. I know you have so many demands. Thank you for coming on the show, and I've heard you say many times to us, by way of challenge and by way of inspiration, if you want to get into the scriptures, ask Jesus and say, "Jesus, lead me."
Yeah. Just ask the Lord to help you, and He will guide you. Don't give up. There are some good books that can help, you know, but the best help is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if you need the books, He'll show you which ones.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Francis.
Amen.
Our next guest on Catholic Vitamins is Father Dave Pavanka. I have been at the feet of Father Dave, so to speak, 5 years in a row. This is my sixth year. Every time that I've been here, I think every time Father's been here, he's been a blessing to priests, deacons, and seminarians. Maybe you were off a year or two, Father.
Once,
yeah. Welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Great. Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is a great joy, and I said to you before, when we were setting up our time together, that it would be a great joy to be able to be with you some other time for a longer setting. Our focus today is on the word novena, and I'm trying to get nine voices to talk to us about nine different aspects of things we can pray for or ask for from Almighty God. So most recently, I know you're the author of books, and most recently you wrote a book called Hiking the Camino. Mm-hmm. What was behind that book?
Well, it was actually my 10th anniversary as a priest. I wanted to do something to thank the Lord for letting me be a priest. It's just a gift, nothing that I've earned or deserved, but the Lord allowed me to be a priest. And I just want to say thank you for 10 beautiful years. So I decided to walk across Spain. It's an ancient pilgrimage site called the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, the burial place of St. James. And I walked 500 miles. So the name of the book is Hiking the Camino, 500 Miles with Jesus. And just being able to walk the same path that saints before me have walked, and for 30 days just to be present with the Lord, away from phones and fax machines and computers and everything, and just thank the Lord for the amazing gift of priesthood.
What an awesome gift. But yesterday in a workshop that you held for priests and deacons and seminarians, you talked about how the first day was an absolute joy, the second day was a little tiring.
Yeah. Well, the Camino is really the spiritual life, and that's really the basis of this book, is that the Camino pilgrimage is the spiritual life. And when we first start following the Lord, everything's wonderful and exciting, and then it gets a little bit more difficult. And that's when we really make the decision that we're going to keep on going. I wrote my family a letter, an email, at the end of the walk. And I said, you know, Mom and Dad, brothers and my sister, the spiritual life isn't complicated. It's not easy. It's not complicated, though. And that means that all we have to do is get up each morning and start walking. And there's some days that we don't feel like walking, and there's some days that we don't feel like going to Mass, and there's some days we don't feel like praying. But we just get up, make a decision to go forward one more day, just keep on walking. Don't give up.
Amen. Amen. The theme for the Priest Deacon Seminary and Conference and Retreat that I've been attending has been "The Truth Shall Set You Free." And we've had a number of speakers who have brought different aspects of truth to our attention, some truth which challenges us, some which convicts us. And your work with us has been on freedom. Hmm. And you also have a new book. I bought a copy, and you were kind enough to autograph it yesterday. The title of the book is "Spiritual Freedom, God's Life-Changing Gift." What's behind that book, Father?
Well, I think at the heart of the spiritual life is freedom. The first three words in the scriptures are God telling the human person, you are free. Unfortunately, we fall from grace, and we walked away and we turned ourselves from the Lord and thought we could do it better on our own, thought we could figure it out by ourselves. And the rest of the stories of the scriptures, honestly, is a story about God calling his people back to himself and letting him know that they're free. So he uses Moses. Moses tells the people that they're free. He leads them out of slavery into freedom. He uses the prophets to speak to a word about freedom. And then ultimately, in the gospel, Jesus, the reason Jesus came is to bring freedom. If we look at the very beginning of Gospel of Luke, the Canticle of Zechariah, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people to set them free.
Amen.
And that's the message of Jesus. Jesus, in the fourth chapter, the first time he speaks publicly, he speaks about freedom, that he has come to give sight to the blind, to heal the cripple, and to proclaim a year of freedom, proclaim a year of liberty. So it's about God setting his people free, free from anger and hatred and injury and hurt, and freedom from their past and freedom from suffering, freedom from whatever it is that binds us.
Yeah. You've shared with us in our workshops so far some wonderful stories and testimony and experiences you've had. I started into the book last night late, but I read about an experience you had with a lovely lady, Lisa, who, while not cured of her illness, you were able to spend time with her in great joy as she journeyed towards eternity with God. But mm-hmm. there was another letter that you read mm-hmm. to us. Would you give us the setup on the letter? And
Sure. That was just a beautiful experience. It was a young student from the university whose mother had passed away, whose sister had passed away. Just tremendous suffering that she experienced in her life. And imagining going through high school without a mom and dealing with that suffering was just very, very difficult. And by her own admission, she made some poor decisions and some poor choices. I think as much as anything, just searching, not knowing what to do or where to go. And she made some decisions about relationships with guys that she truly regretted, and lots of drinking, and just her life really spiraled out of control. When I first met her, I began to, first off, just to let her know that she's going to be okay, you know, that God is going to hold her in the palm of her hand. And she would kind of ignore me, and you know, I would tell her about a God who loved her, and she would say things like, Father, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the horrible things that I've done. And I said, you know, you're right, I don't know, but I do know that God is loving and that God is forgiving and God is kind. And I just continue to meet, nothing too profound, just telling her and reminding her that she has beauty and that she was going to be okay and that God was going to take care of her and that God loved her. And one day we were talking and she was nervous and she was fidgeting and she was holding this penny in her hand and just kind of playing around with it. And then I received this letter from her a couple of days later. And she says, Father Dave, I was thinking about that penny I was playing with the whole time we were talking. Pennies go through a lot of stuff too. They get passed from person to person and dropped in the mud and stepped on, but no matter how dirty and beaten up they get, their worth stays the same. You know, some pennies have an easy life because they're shiny, but then you get the black ones, the ones that you know have been through a lot. It's just like people. Some of us are shiny and some of us are dirty and beat up. But we are all of equal worth, and we are all loved. I feel like I'm one of those dirty pennies in the gutter, but you picked me up, brushed me off, showed me that I have worth. You told me a lot about a God who loves me and doesn't want me to hurt or hate or to be angry. And for the first time, I'm starting to think that maybe that could be true.
How beautiful. How absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Our guest on Catholic Vitamins is Father Dave Pavanka.
I just can't tell you how many times I've been around Father Dave and seen how he has moved my heart and mind and soul and many others. And I wonder if we could, in closing, just ask for your blessing, Father.
Sure. We just pray that all those who are listening to the deacon and being a part of his ministry would experience the grace and the love of Jesus, and that they would experience a freedom, whatever it is that binds them, anger or hatred or lack of forgiveness, pain or suffering, the past, things that they've done, things that have had been done to them, that the grace of Jesus and the power of his resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, would free them from all that binds them, so that they would live in the grace and the power and the mercy of Jesus. And we pray all those who are listening at this moment that they would experience the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Dave Pavanka, for visiting Catholic Vitamins.
My pleasure to be a part of Catholic Vitamins.
Well, there you have two great priests that we have been blessed to be with at Franciscan University. The first is Father Francis Martin. He's a scripture scholar, a senior fellow at the Forum for Faith and Culture at the JP2 Center in Washington, D.C. He's also at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. He's taught in Rome. He's lived in Israel. He speaks many, many languages, Aramaic and Hebrew, and so he's just a great teacher for us, and he's the author of many works. One of them is Sacred Scripture, The Disclosure of the Word. And so his recommendation for this novena of Holy Thoughts would be turn to God's Word and ask God for help if you are wondering which direction to go. We also talked with Father Dave Pavanka. What a wonderful priest he is. He talked for a few moments about his Hiking the Camino book, 500 Miles with Jesus, which he claims is a parallel to the Christian faith walk. Makes a good case for it, doesn't he? And then he talked to us about spiritual freedom, freedom from addiction, anger, hatred, depression, rebellion. And we priests and deacons who attended his 3 days of workshops really got some great insights and some amazing power from the stories that Father Dave shared with us, just like the one that you heard a few moments ago. Well, we're almost ready to wrap up. Dee will be back in a little bit, but there is one more interview that I am forced to play. We're recording now. We're in the cafeteria at Franciscan University. And we're with an old, 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 old friend. His name is Bob D'Arilio. Bob.
From the False Myth Podcast.
Amen.
The ancient podcast. Now, I got, okay, my turn. Okay. Now, I heard by good authority that they're going to put a new monument up where Deacon Tom gave a talk to the soldiers just before battle. But Gettysburg doesn't have the money.
All right, you two. Okay. Truce.
Well, you know, I just, a plague upon your house. A plague upon your house. Picking on a young man like that.
Should we tell the truth, who's the oldest? No, we've never revealed that.
Well, I was born in 1983. Go ahead, your turn.
That was 1883.
Right. Let's set the record straight here and now. Dee, you were born, Bob?
August the 13th. I was born on a Friday the 13th in Canton, Ohio, 1943.
Okay, that's the end of this.
I know what that means.
That's the end of this, and we're in a cafeteria. I don't think folks can hear us, so...
You're just a year. you're a year older, right?
April 2nd, 1941.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
I was born in Canton, Ohio. The night I was born, at August the 13th, 43, they had a big tornado. And, you know, everybody talks about the tornado of 43. It hasn't done a thing for me, but it happened.
And I was born the year between you two.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm the middle child.
It is a blessing.
And you look a lot younger than both of us put together.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're sweet.
Absolutely.
You're sweet.
So it's a great joy to be with you and to finally meet you in person. And I'm sorry that there's a lot of noise. There are 2,200 young people coming in this weekend, and a few of them are here already, and a lot of joy here.
Yeah. This is a great university, isn't it? I'm sure some of your listeners and my listeners have heard that I was down here 3 weeks ago for the men's conference, Sharpened on the Rock.
Right.
What a powerful weekend. And I will tell your male listeners, save your money and come next year, first weekend of June. You just have to be here.
I agree. I heard that podcast, and you were pumped. I could tell you were pumped. And Tom, every year when he comes off this week's retreat, he's like floating on cloud nine. I have to pull him down. He's just radiating.
Yeah. It's just that way.
Praise God.
And that's a great thing to have in your life, to have that happen, just to stop the world, because we're also, what have we Americans done to ourselves? We're all so busy all the time. You know, just seem to never have time. And when you get into an environment like this, just waiting for you a little while that I was out there, and how peaceful the birds and just...
Absolutely. Isn't that noticeable?
Then the other thing was the college kids were coming in and out of the cafeteria. And I think 50% of them looked over and said hello. You know, I don't know who they are.
Tom has remarked to me so many times over the past 5 years, and he's been coming here, that how wonderfully friendly the students are, the kids are. They're wholesome, and they're just beautiful.
I call this the holiest ground in Ohio. I really believe that.
Franciscan University is an anointed place, and every gathering here, I think, is an anointed great gift from Almighty God. So we invite anybody who can come to a men's group function, as you were talking about, a Defending the Faith conference, the Priest Deacon Seminarian conference. Scott Hahn and his wife are teaching here this summer, and they will every year. So.
And you drove, you know, almost all the way across the United States just to be here. So for that, that's a testament unto itself.
Well, Dee and I listen to your podcast and enjoy hearing you and your great support for men. And thank you for coming all this way to meet us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. It was just great seeing you guys. And by the way, just for your listeners, Tom actually looks older than me, but Dee looks younger. So
I can edit these remarks.
Yeah.
This is Cheryl Deco, author of Our Jewish Roots, and I'm delighted to spend a moment with you again today on Catholic Vitamins, offering a Jewish roots connection to the letter N. For N, I selected Noah, because we continue to look at the ways that the Old and the New Testament are connected, and Noah is a beautiful example of humility. And as Catholics, we understand humility to be a moral virtue. And it's really where we recognize our complete and our utter dependence on God. And so Noah is a beautiful example of that in the Old Testament. Now, certainly we know that humility, as maybe kind of twisted around in the secular world, isn't something that is necessarily embraced, because people like to think of themselves as fully capable and able to take care of everything. But we know that Jesus' own life and his example about humility is something that we need to emulate. You know, from being born in a manger to stating that he came to serve and not be served. So that's the sort of humility that we ought to strive for, not the, you know, humility that gets a bad rap in the world. So Noah then is the first example of understanding that all we are and everything that we have is due to God, and that it all should be turned over to him and to serve him and his kingdom. So that's the humility we want to take out into the world this week, the humility that is shown through the life of Noah.
Well, as we come near to the end of this Catholic Vitamins, you can see from our little time source on the Mac computer that we've had a little bit of a long show.
But those were some great interview segments you got while you were at Franciscan University. I didn't get to hear any of them until you got back, but they were wonderful.
Yeah, I really enjoyed. I want to thank everyone who was so willing to spend time with us, Father Francis Martin, Father Dave Pivanka, the young lady who was the nursing student. You know, I just like to really thank everybody, except that fellow Bob Derilio. I don't think I like him too much.
Well, at least we finally got the debate about who's the oldest. Well, even if it ends up being you, it's out in the open now.
I wanted to lie about it so that we could end this debate. At any rate, it's a blessing. We are sitting outside of your mom's apartment home.
We started the podcast sitting around at my sister's dining room table, but now we're outside my mom's house.
There's an air conditioning compressor running in the background. There are birds chirping.
Every now and then a little breeze blows and the wind chime right above us here tinkles, but
yeah,
it's nice. It's hot. It's very hot and humid today. I don't know why we're out here.
It is hot and humid. Well, there's several people inside.
That's true.
And this was the only place we could come for a little peace and quiet. And it was a blessing to go to my retreat and conference. Thanks be to God. And I hope that the voices that we had on with the idea of a novena of voices to inspire and lift you listeners to prayer and new thoughts of things that you can do or intensify in your spiritual walk. I hope this was helpful. And dear, I'm glad we're back together, you and I.
We are. I went to my high school reunion last night.
Yeah.
Had a nice time. We had a really good turnout.
Great. Awesome. And I had a date.
You did.
I took my mother-in-law out for supper.
And my sister.
And your sister. We had a nice dinner at a place called Traditions. A very neat, what would you say, Amish-like?
I think it's run by Mennonite. It is,
yeah.
Community,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But very down-home traditional food. I had a half of a barbecued chicken that was really great. Filled me up for sure. Well, we're sort of prattling on, and we are not going to have a chance to thank our new Facebook friends and others until we get back and sort of get settled into our old routine. There may be some things I don't get posted on our website until later, once we get back. Links to Father Dave Pivanka's books, Father Francis Martin's works, website addresses. Oh, we want to thank Cheryl Dickow for her continuing to stick with us.
Another wonderful segment from her.
So, dear friends, we thank you for journeying with us all the way across country from the Southwest through the Midwest and Missouri and on to the East.
And in a day or two, we'll be starting the whole trek back the other way.
Yeah, we will. God bless everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.